Good afternoon, everybody. People were telling me, you've got to follow that. That was beautiful. Thank you for that. And thank you for the special music today. All of it was great. Keep hearing good reports about last night. Everybody had a good time. So we also had a great time where we were at. So actually got to sleep all night. I don't recall waking up at all until 5 o'clock this morning. So that was different for me. Usually I'm a 2 or 3 o'clock riser. But anyway. So welcome to the first day of Unleavened Bread. The title of my sermon today is Let's Not Hold Back. Let's Not Hold Back. I appreciate the message from Mr. Hanaway. A lot of good information. I hope you get to feeling better with your throat and everything. So that's got to be tough to be speaking with that type of condition. In Exodus 12, if you would, join me in Exodus 12. There will be a little bit of overlapping today, but it's always good to repeat. Exodus 12, starting in verse 14. Because of this day and this week, we're to be putting sin out of our life. We're supposed to be doing that each and every day, but especially during these 7 days, we're to be really focused on putting sin out of our life. I want to go back to ancient Israel. So in Exodus 12, verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever," speaking of the Passover. Now they're talking about 7 days in verse 15. "Shall you eat unleavened bread? Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." What I was thinking about when looking at this message is, as ancient Israel, they had just witnessed all the plagues that God had placed on the Egyptians. They had witnessed the death of the firstborn. All these things, they saw the power of God being presented to them in person. They witnessed this in person. For us today, during these days of unleavened bread and our lifetime up to this point, what have we witnessed from God? Well, one thing I would say, it's a miracle. God's miracle. We're sitting here today. God called all of us. God's the one that does the calling. And Jesus Christ, with his precious gift of his life, that gives us the opportunity for us to go to God, to seek forgiveness, to seek an audience with our Father in heaven. These are miracles that we alone have witnessed, and we will continue to witness more things as prophecy is continuing to be fulfilled. Back then, they witnessed diseases, they witnessed darkness, plagues, death. Today, we're witnessing people suffering all around the world. People in Africa, there's famines, drought, starvation. These are things that we are witnessing, that Satan is out there. He is broadcasting his negative ways, his influences. People that are out for get, that want to hoard as much as they can get to keep it away from other people. These are things that we are witnessing. But God will eventually deliver mankind. We know that. Because God delivers us today from sin. And again, that's by the precious gift of His very Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us, His very creation. You know, we just celebrated the Passover on Sunday evening, which was a very humbling time for us. In 1 Corinthians, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." And that's what we do each year. We are not to be forsaking that time of year. We are to be there. We are to celebrate. We are observing the Passover, and we proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. And we have to be very sincere. We cannot do that haphazardly. We cannot go into this second guessing. We need to be very sincere when we partake of that. So as we take this time seriously, not just only during the holy days, but each day in our life, we need to follow God in all that He does. And during the Passover service, when we went through the foot washing to show the humbleness or the humility and the service of washing each other's feet, the bread, the symbol of Christ's body, the sacrificial offering that Christ went through, and the wine, Christ's blood, in Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 14. It says, By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And also in Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We're to look to God for everything in our life, because all good things come from our Father. And His Son, Jesus Christ, sitting there at His right hand, who through that sacrifice gives us access, and through God's Holy Spirit that we received after our baptism, we are to utilize that to grow each and every day. And it's through these days of unleavened bread that we need to focus, we need to grow, of keeping sin from us, out of our life, out of our daily thoughts. You know, Christ showed how people really are back during his time. People can put up a front. They may act one way in front of you, but act another way in private or wherever else they may be. During Christ's time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, Christ was always correcting them on what they were lacking. So if you would, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 5 and 6. Here Christ is relating how the Pharisees, the way they acted, and relating it to the leaven. It says, when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And we know the story here where they thought he was talking about they had not brought any bread. But he corrected them later, stating, no, I'm talking about how the Pharisees and Sadducees are, and the leavening, the sin that you're to be aware of and be cautious of. Just like us today, we need to be aware of our actions, of what we say, how we act, how we live. We don't want to have the appearance of doing wrong. We don't want to be doing wrong. We need, again, to keep sin from our lives. If you're still in the book of Matthew 16, verses 11 and 12, where Christ speaking in verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood how he had bade them or made them aware, or not talking about bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Again, Satan is out there, and he has people deceived. He has people who, as Christ told us, to beware of, to not be, you know, led astray. You know, there will be people coming that will be speaking falsehoods. So don't believe that. You have to be strong in God's word to understand, to know the truth. You know, we need to remove and avoid all types of sin in our life, in all areas of our life. And that includes here in God's church. We're all one family. We're all one body. We have to be careful on our thoughts, how we speak, our words, our actions. We have to be very careful, because Satan is loving every time he trips someone up. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. First Corinthians 5, starting verse 6 through 8. It says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we're to be sincere in our actions to one another. We're to be truthful, because God's word is truth. So our words should reflect God. Our words should be truth as well. A lot of people think this time of year is a good time for spring cleaning. You know, as we're de-leavening our homes, you know, it's amazing what you find when you're actually sort of deep cleaning in certain areas. Some of the conversations last night, some of the people were relating where they sort of found certain things that had leavening in it. You know, and it made me think of Mary Poppins' purse. You've seen the movie where she's digging way down into her purse. You know, how would she be able to clean something that deep out? Because someone said, "Oh, I found something in my purse." You know, which there are times you just don't really think about these things. So, but you always have to be on guard. But we look at areas such as our house, our cars, our offices, purses, you know, our suits. You know, sometimes you're stuffing things in your pockets and you just don't realize it. But all these things, you start to, again, you're focusing on the days of unleavened bread and de-leavening. Well, that's the way we are with our lives. Where are the sins occurring if we're truly honest with ourselves of knowing where to look, what we're looking for, and how often should we be looking? Well, that should be constantly, and we should be on guard. Satan never sleeps. He's constantly looking to do something, either directly to us or to someone we know, that would cause us to think the wrong way, to say something the wrong way, or possibly, you know, stop doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that's to stay close to God. Now, God's help and understanding is what we're always looking for. We need to stay close to God, because during these days of unleavened bread, we need to have the mental ability to recognize, to expel, and to avoid sin. But we also need to be able to recognize sin and the different forms of sin. In today's world, with all the technology, all the fast communications, whether it's on the web, the cloud, papers, books, TV, whatever it may be, there are various forms of sin. What is one of our biggest weaknesses? Or do we have a weakness? Or do we just have multiple weaknesses that we need to be working on? This is a time that we're being trained so that we can share our stories in the future with others in future days of unleavened bread, future holy days. So, you know, it's our life, but our life is similar. We're baptized members, we're part of God's church, we're part of God's family, eventually be sons and daughters of God, which there will be many to come. These are things that we can relate to. These are things that we need to work on so that we know that we're there at that time when Christ returns, so that we can assist him. You know, the Apostle Paul struggled. He's a great example to read about in the Bible. There are many examples in the Bible, and that's why we need to continue looking at God's Word. If you would turn to Romans 7. Romans 7. Starting in verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." How many times have we found ourselves, as Paul is speaking here, we know we should not be doing this, but we're doing it. We know we should be doing this, but we're not. Life comes full circle. It says there's nothing new under the sun. So as we read these verses, especially of Paul's life, Place yourself in those words. How do you relate to these words? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Do we delight in the law of God? I know we do, but we still have that struggle. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! And as we cry out to God, there are times that we say, you know, we're not worthy, O wretched man that I am. But God is so loving. God is able to, God forgives us of our sins. Again, if we're sincerely there for full repentance, to not hold back, we have to be complete. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So that is a struggle. But it's a struggle that we have to maintain in order for us to succeed in life as a Christian. In Romans 8, verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have a choice. It speaks of in Deuteronomy 30. Choose life, choose death. We know that we want to choose life. And by doing that, we need to follow God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I would recommend that you again, go through Romans 8 when you have time, because there's just so much information there that's, you know, is really appropriate for this time of year. By observing the days of unleavened bread, we realize, and I know we do realize it, our need for Christ's help because of His many examples that are recorded in the Bible for us. He is there for us in overcoming our weaknesses. And that weakness, or those weaknesses, deal with our mental, our physical, and our spiritual needs. They all work together. They all have to be protected. You know, it's a time of rejoicing. You know, Christ gave His life. He was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, for us to be cleansed. And this is on a continual basis. It wasn't just a one-time deal. It's continual. God's a loving God, and we to be continually putting sin out of our life. You know, a comment was made even after the Passover, as a person went home, and all of a sudden it's like, why am I thinking these thoughts? You know, which has happened, I'm sure, to all of us. You know, your walk out, sins have been wiped clean, and all of a sudden, boom. Yeah, you're going on your knees before God saying, you know, just 2 hours ago or an hour ago, I'm back here. Well, that's a good thing about God, you know. Again, it's not a one-time shot. 24/7. God is available to us, and we need to make every opportunity and take every opportunity to be that close to our Father. In order to do this, in order to accomplish this life as a Christian, in order to accomplish these days of unleavened bread, we have to be alert. We have to be alert. But what are we to be alert on? We're to recognize that we are in a warfare with Satan. And it is. It's an ongoing war. Since Satan's fall, there's been a war, a continual war going on between good and evil. And what is Satan's goal? Satan's goal is to kill, to steal, and destroy each and every one of us. That is his goal. In John 10:10, we read the thief, which we would call Satan the devil. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Where Christ says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we have to be alert and recognize that it is a warfare. Satan is also the master of deception. And there's plenty of deception in this world, as I mentioned earlier, through the different media forms. Satan being the father of lies. There's no good thing about Satan when we're talking about the evil one. We're to be alert because we're to ask and seek God for spiritual understanding. You know, Paul was speaking in the book of Ephesians. So if you turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 18. The eyes of the understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, this is how our lives can be refined and how we reflect God. We need to have our eyes and our understanding enlightened in God's word. We have to have clear vision. If our eyes are shaded over, that Satan will try to do to confuse us. So we have to have clear vision. We need to be alert to resist. We need to check our thoughts. We have to be in control of our thoughts. We need to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why we need to be in control of our thoughts. If it is contrary to God's way, it doesn't belong in our mind. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But we also need to be alert to escape. You know, to be ready to escape. And that's to recognize temptations, to escape from the temptations. Don't let it take hold. Don't give it a place. So to be alert, we have to utilize our senses. Our senses belong to our eyesight, that being the spiritual sight, our spiritual hearing, our spiritual taste, our spiritual touch, and our spiritual smell. All of our faculties, our mind, our heart, everything about us that God has created, God has given us that opportunity. God has given us these holy days to understand His master plan for mankind. So we need to continue to work through this week. We need to continue to be able to go to God and seek what He is asking us to do. If you would turn to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." This is where we talk about having that spiritual vision. As we're praying to God, ask Him to open your eyes, to see not only the spiritual words and understanding, but also to help you see those areas of temptations of sin in our life that we may be blind to. We've gotten so comfortable in our life that we don't recognize it, but we need to. And God is the one that will give us that sight in order to be able to progress in our life. And that's what we need to be doing, not regressing, but progressing, going forward. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered or expressed, seeing you are dull of hearing. Again, the spiritual hearing that we're talking about, we do not want to have dull hearing. We want to be extra sharp with our sight and our hearing. When we hear the Word of God, do we prove it? Or do we just take whatever people tell us as, well, it came off the internet, so it must be true? Well, no, that's not a true statement. Prove all things. When you're listening, you need to have the concept of knowing that if you're unsure, prove it. Don't take things at face value. Prove all things. In the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8. Psalms 34, verse 8, it says, "O taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." Again, as we were talking about the spiritual side of our senses, the spiritual taste. This is our food, right here. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what we need to be filling ourselves with. We need to be drinking in, tasting all these words, all these messages, all these life stories that are in this book. Again, as we read Scripture, our names are not in here, but our story is in here. Our very life story is in these pages. In one form or fashion, God is speaking about us in this book. We need to see it, we need to hear it, we need to taste it. But we also need to touch it. We need to touch it, feel it, move it around, enjoy it. In 1 John 1:1, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. This is the word of life. This is our life. We sitting here, observing God's holy day around the world. This is the word of life that we're speaking on. And for smell, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 2, starting in 15, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, savor, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? You know, it's better to be a sweet savor than a bitter. You know, Satan is there running around, throwing his bitterness throughout the world. We're here to have a sweet savor in God's word as part of our life. So again, train your senses spiritually, physically. Train them. Train it what it takes to survive, to endure. Our sight, our hearing, our taste, our feel, our smell. We need to communicate to each and every one of us, to support each and every one of us during these days. You know, Mr. Cimino reminds us, which I appreciate, you know, the number of full moons we have before the feast. You know, use the term 3,900 years. You know, I like numbers, but I really haven't got into type history and numbers like that. But it's you know, God's word is true today as it was at the very beginning. You know, we know it's true. We know it's for our benefit. We know that we have to do what it takes to endure to the end, to maintain and to keep sin out of our life, but also to support one another in order for everyone to succeed in that, to never be a stumbling block, but be supported. So as these days of unleavened bread continue, we want to make sure that we're solidly behind God. We understand His Word. We understand our part in His plan. That part is to succeed. That part is to support. That part is for us to continue studying His Word, meditating on His Word. We have the fast that's coming up on April 22nd to support the church. That's right around the corner. We need to be physically, mentally, spiritually preparing not just for these days, but for what's ahead of us. It's getting closer. We're one day closer to Christ's return. And through His holy days, He keeps us informed and understanding that that is the only way for us. We cannot linger. We cannot let go. We must continue to do what God expects us to do. We need to continue doing what we know that we need to do. In order to endure to the end, we need to stay close to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and always, always love them and love one another. So be strong, endure, stay vigilant. Keep your mind clear and understand what we're up against. Again, it's a war. Us against Satan. But we know how the story ends. God wins. But we need to be there to be part of that winning team. Enjoy the rest of the day.